January.
February. The question of lost time has intrigued both laymen and scholars. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about lost days and calendars. Hello, this is Joe Cruz of the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Continuing today with our sincere search on the Sabbath question, we're going to examine more Bible reasons for keeping the Sabbath commanded by God in the Ten Commandment Law. Now, we found that the seventh day is Saturday on our modern calendars. No one has any question about that. We can always look at the wall and see it. In fact, calendars bear witness in every home as to the true Sabbath day right now. Yes, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. We've been looking into some real reasons why people should keep it, and some of the reasons that folks give for not keeping it on occasion. Now, here's a reason that some people give for not keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. How do we know that our seventh day is the same one that Jesus kept? Well, let's read something now from the book of Luke, chapter 23, and beginning with verse 54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Now, friends, you read the preceding verses, and you'll discover that this was the day Jesus was crucified, the day we now call Good Friday. Going back to Mark 15:42, which says specifically that the preparation is a day before the Sabbath. And now when the even was come, because it was a preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So, friends, we call that day Friday now. And that day was the preparation. I'm reading on now in verse 55. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now there you have the preparation day, and then the Sabbath. And then in chapter 24, verse 1, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. So in three verses, right together, you have the description of 3 days. The first day was the one of his crucifixion, called the preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. The next day, according to this text, is the Sabbath, according to the commandment. And then the next day, it says, was the first day of the week, the day he arose from the dead. Now, if you'll turn back to Mark 16, 1 and 2, you'll discover that the Scripture teaches that the first day of the week is a day that comes right after the Sabbath. Now, when you combine these three verses, we have the weekly cycle preserved. We know exactly the day that Christ kept. The preparation day we call Friday. Then there's the Sabbath according to the commandment, the fourth commandment, the seventh day of the week. And then immediately following that is the first day of the week, or Sunday, the day that he rose. So, the day that Christ kept was the day that comes just before the first day of the week. Now, that's what God had recorded here, so that there could never be a question about it in our minds. Now, maybe you wonder if the calendar was changed. That really used to bother me, friends, until I looked it up. Down in the library, you'll find an encyclopedia that'll give all the information on the Sabbath question. I mean the calendar question in relation to the Sabbath. And the encyclopedias make it very clear that no change has been made in the calendar since Christ's day that affects the weekly cycle. Anyone who will bother to go look it up will find out immediately that there's nothing to the change of the calendar argument at all. From the day of the Romans down to our own day, the calendar weekly cycle has been preserved perfectly. The Romans gave us our calendar, in fact. August was named after Augustus Caesar. Julius Caesar had July named after him. They're the ones who gave us our calendar, and you can easily trace it back to the Roman time. History, as we think of it today, comes to us from the Grecians who lived before the Romans. They gave us the great historian Herodotus, who is called the father of history. Now, since this is true, it's easy to trace the calendar back to Rome, as any brief study will reveal. And such a study shows also that no change has taken place in our weekly cycle. There's no question about it. Nothing changed the weekly cycle from the days of Christ right to our own day. Now, many have said that they don't keep the Sabbath because Sabbath was changed at the cross to Sunday at the time of the resurrection of Jesus. They believe that when Jesus died, that did away with the law so that the Sabbath came to an end also. Now, let me state, friends, that there's no scripture at all to support that idea. In case that you should know of anybody who has such a scripture, I'd be happy to have it. And I'll give $1,000 for such a scripture because I know it just simply isn't in the Bible. In fact, we have something here in the Bible that teaches just the opposite. The Bible shows that Christ did not change the Sabbath at his death or his resurrection. And he taught his disciples, in fact, that there could be no change of the Sabbath. Let's begin reading now in Matthew 24, verse 20. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now listen, Christ was teaching here about things to come in the future. He told them Jerusalem would be destroyed. There wouldn't be one stone left on another. And then he said, pray that you won't have to flee from that destruction on the Sabbath day. Now Christ knew that Jerusalem would be destroyed in 70 A.D., 40 years after he ascended. Why did he tell them to pray that their flight would not be on the Sabbath? Why, friends, Christ intended for his followers to be keeping that Sabbath 40 years after he had gone back to heaven, just as he intended for them to be keeping it down here in our own present day. A lot of people say, well, I keep Sunday in honor of the resurrection. And I suppose that's one of the most common statements made. Certainly none of us would want to say anything that would detract from the beauty and glory of the resurrection. Indeed, it was a glorious event. We're grateful for it. It's a very wonderful thing that happened. But when it comes to something so important as a commandment of God, then we must have a scripture for it. So with all kindness and all firmness, I say, where is the scripture that tells us we should keep the first day of the week and honor the resurrection? Friends, we honor God by obeying him. That's what Jesus said in John 15:14. He said, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, we honor him by obeying him, not by inventing our own holy day, not by substituting some man-made law or day in place of something that God has instituted. It's obedience that counts. The Bible does give a memorial to the resurrection. You'll find that in Romans 6:4-6. The Lord says specifically here that baptism is a memorial of the resurrection. And baptism is commanded in honor of the resurrection and not Sunday keeping. Sunday keeping in honor of the resurrection is man's idea, not God's at all. Sometimes when people come up to this Sabbath question, they say, well, I keep every day holy. And I think we ought to just state plainly, friends, that it's impossible to do that. It's impossible for anybody to keep every day holy. In fact, it's impossible to keep anything holy unless it's been made holy by God himself. Now, suppose a man was wearing a black suit. And he says, I'm going to keep this black suit nice and white. Could he do that? Why, of course not. You can't keep a black suit white because it wasn't white to begin with. Neither can a person keep a day holy that was never made holy to begin with. The difference between the Sabbath and any other day is a difference in the Bible and any other book. One is man-made, the other is God-made. Which will you take? The difference between the Sabbath and any other day is the difference in a piece of cloth and the flag. Now, let's say we have a white handkerchief here. And then over on the other side, here's a flag. Both of them are cloth. It would be possible for me to have a handkerchief made from the very same kind of material. But there's a great deal of difference in the two pieces of cloth. One of them has been set aside and stamped as something special. 13 alternative stripes of red and white, 50 stars on a field of blue, sets this piece of cloth apart from all other pieces of cloth. It means something. And it's the same thing with the Sabbath. The Lord made one of his ordinary pieces of cloth, or days, and he lifted it high above the others, and he stamped upon it something sacred. It became his Sabbath. He said, I've set this apart. It's a holy day. Keep it holy. Lift it up. It's my banner. Always hold it high. Now, the Lord is not pleased with people who trample on sacred things, friends. If I took the flag down from its stand and threw it on the ground and began to trample on it, you wouldn't permit that. You'd say, if you did permit it and approve of that, you're not worthy of the name America. And you would say, what's the matter with you? That flag represents America. Well, that's the way it is with God's Sabbath, friends. A sacred heart of his law, the commandment that he set apart and lifted up. He wants us to keep our feet off holy things. That's what the Bible says in Isaiah 58:13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, In our language, we'd say, get your foot off the Sabbath. We don't use the expression, turn your foot. We say, get your foot off. But if somebody puts his foot on something, we say, get your foot off. But the Lord says, if you want to be blessed, get your foot off the Sabbath. It's a holy, sacred thing. And then he goes on to say, I'll bless you. Read on down through verse 14 and see how God promises a blessing to those who stop trampling upon his holy Sabbath. Now suppose an alien came over and wanted to be naturalized in this country. And the day he went in to take his final naturalization test, the American flag was hanging nearby, and he put it on the floor and stood on it. Don't you imagine the officer in charge would angrily say, well, the first thing you'll have to learn about being an American is to get your foot off the American flag. What's the matter with you? Well, friends, that's what God is saying here. Take your feet off holy things if you want to be blessed. That's a very serious crime against heaven. Did you know that the Lord foresaw the apostasy of our day? Read it in Ezekiel 22:26. He knew these things were coming. And he said here, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I'm profaned among them. Now, friends, this may come as a real shock to you, but I pray God you'll not shrug it off lightly and say, well, that's the way he believes, I'll believe like I wish. I pray God you'll get on your knees and give this thing deeper study. And as you do, you'll become convinced that somewhere back there in the stream of time, the whole world made a wrong turn. The whole world has gone astray on a direct, plain commandment of God. Many are following along today innocently and not asking questions, just supposing that Sunday keeping has to be right. Of course, God understands that. But friends, you ask your pastor, ask religious leaders that you know. Look it up in the encyclopedia. Study the scriptures. See if it's true. Demand evidence from the Bible before you accept anything. I want to say again that this is too solemn a matter to treat lightly. Suppose somebody today stood up in your city and said, I have the light. It's all right to steal. Would you take that lightly? Would you believe it and accept it? Why, you'd say, where does your light come from? You show me. That involves one of the Ten Commandments of God. And we ought to feel the very same way about the Sabbath. God has given a commandment. If somebody says differently from that commandment, you better say, I'm from Missouri. Show me. It could cost us our eternal salvation if we're wrong in this thing, friends. Did you know that the Lord promises to keep the Sabbath with all his redeemed people in the kingdom of heaven? You'll find that in Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.